appreciate very much the presence of each and every one who's here today, especially those who are visiting with us, and those who knew that Darwin was going to be gone came anyway. But we appreciate your presence here, appreciate your interest and your concern for the Word of God and the opportunity to worship Him. In one of my study verses, Bibles, these verses are labeled Lessons in Christ School. That phrase caught my eye because when I was a small child, I loved school. In fact, when I was about age four, my love for school created a problem with my mother. We lived in a community that the school building was only about a half a mile away. It had a bell tower and a bell up on top of it that the teacher would ring at the beginning of school in the morning, various other times during the day. And you could hear that thing for well over a mile. And as a four-year-old, I stood at the backyard gate and bawled because I couldn't go to school. So I loved school. If I could have gotten that gate open, I probably would have gone over the hill and mother had to come after me. While I loved school, at least through high school, one of the things that I did not learn until somewhat later in my life is the value of instruction. There are many things that we need to be taught. Not just the fun things, not just the subjects that we might enjoy, but all the things that we need in order to conduct ourselves in this life. Solomon, given wisdom from God beyond the normal measure, indulged himself in the pleasures of life. He amassed great riches. He gained much power and honor among men, but when he boiled it all down, near the end of his tenure on this earth, he wrote this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. He says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man." In order to fear God, we must be taught. In order to know the commandments of God, we must be taught. We must be instructed in the ways and the laws of our Lord. God knew that. So he gave these instructions to the Israelites along with the law. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up." And he continues with instructions to bind them on their hand, to place them before their eyes like frontlets, to write them on the posts of their houses and on the gates. They're to keep the commandments of God before them at all times. They are to live with them day and night and make them the standard by which they themselves would live in their day-to-day living. They're to teach them diligently to their children. Their children were admonished by the wisdom of Solomon to hear the instruction of their father, forsake not the law of thy mother, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. And again, we need to remember, and for the commandment is a lamp, a light. The law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. When Israel failed to do that, when Israel failed to do what God had commanded in this case, they failed their God and they suffered his wrath. Hosea, the prophet, Hosea chapter 1, said there, chapter 4, rather, verse 1, said this. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord." He says, "You people, you children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Well, there was no knowledge of God in the land of the chosen people of God? No, there apparently was not. But how could that be? Well, the prophet goes on to say in verse 6, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. They had forgotten the laws of God because they weren't taught. We gain knowledge by being instructed. That's why that in Christ school we're taught this. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So, this is why that the Apostle Paul commanded the young preacher Timothy, and these things thou shalt heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And because without believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, without believing in God, it is impossible to please God. We're told that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. We gain our faith in God, our belief in God, our knowledge of the laws of God by hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We need to learn and to appreciate the value of instruction in the scriptures, because it is through his revelation that God provides for us all things that pertain to life and godliness, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Truth. We're provided with truth. Absolute truth. And this is the second lesson we have in the school of Christ. We learn what truth is. We learn its source. We learn to recognize what is not truth. We learn to examine the words of men, especially regarding the realm of religion. For the devil seeks to deceive and lead us astray with false teachings and false teachers. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. If we're paying attention and value instruction, we'll learn the source of truth. We'll learn that our God, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. We see the words of David in his prayer to God, a prayer of thanksgiving, and his request to build God a house, a temple, rather than a tabernacle that had been carried from place to place. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28. He says, and now, O Lord God, art thou God, that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness to thy servant. He understood the truth of God's word. Then God sent his truth to this earth in the form of his only begotten Son. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we see, and the world was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And as he went about from place to place, teaching and healing the sick, performing signs and miracles of all kinds, teaching them that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are the source of absolute truth. Oh, but men encouraged by the wiles of Satan would have us to believe that there are many ways, there are many paths, there are many truths. They claim that we're all going to heaven, even if we teach doctrines that conflict, even if we teach doctrines that cannot be found in Scripture, even if we teach doctrines that oppose each other. So the truth of God and God's revelation warns us through the Apostle John, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And through Paul's warning to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this brings us to our third lesson from the school of Jesus Christ. Sin is deceptive. Sin's deceptive. From the very first sin ever committed, Satan has been deceiving men. He deceived Eve. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. The woman being deceived was in transgression. Eve was deceived. But how was Eve deceived? Well, it couldn't be any plainer to those who would look into such matters. When God placed mankind in the garden that he had prepared, he gave them one prohibition that has been recorded for us. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. But of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when she was confronted by Satan, by the old serpent, she repeats God's prohibition. She understood what she had been commanded. She knew what God had said. She knew that the fruit of the tree was forbidden. But Satan tells her in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5, he says, you shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So Eve sinned. Eve transgressed the law that God had given him. Oh, can't you just hear our religious neighbors today? Oh, God is a God of love. He loves us so much that he surely wouldn't destroy us or punish us for just one little sin. They've been deceived. God will punish us for our sins. Just as he punished Adam and Eve for their sins. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. He didn't leave Adam out either. Verse 17, he says, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And both of them, and all mankind, suffer physical death because of that sin. Because in verse 19 of the same chapter, he says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, out of it thou hast taken. For dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. So let's look at what Satan said, Eve. He said, your eyes will be opened. You'll be wise as gods. Why, you'll even know the difference between good and evil. Well, sadly, that was true. They now knew what evil was. They knew now what sin was, and men are still being deceived in the same way today. Paul, writing to Titus, makes his confession and giving him direction concerning what he was to teach other men. He said, warn them to be subject to higher powers. He said, obey the magistrates. He said, be ready to do every good work. Speak evil evil of no man and more. Why did he tell Titus that? He says, for ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul was deceived. He was deceived into believing that when he persecuted Christians, even to the point of pursuing them to distant cities, that he was doing the Lord's work. But he learned different on that Damascus road through the value of the instruction that Jesus provided, and changed his life as a result. We need the encouragement of others and each other to escape the deceitfulness of sin, just as we're told in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another daily. Help each other defeat the deceitfulness of sin. Help each other overcome our temptations. Learn the lesson that sin is deceitful. Why? Because sin is deadly. Sin is deadly. We just saw that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, that physical death for all mankind was the result. But there's a spiritual death as well. During the time that God walked in the garden, during the cool of the day, we're told in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, we're not told, but there's no doubt in my mind that from time to time he visited the man and woman he'd created. But after they had sinned, after they had contaminated themselves with sin, they were barred from the garden. In their sinful condition, they were separated from God. They suffered spiritual death. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. So he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Sin is deadly. They suffered spiritual death that is inevitable when we are in sin, because God in his holiness will have no fellowship with sin. God cannot even stand to look upon sin or someone in sin. The prophet Habakkuk tells us this. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he? God cannot countenance sin, cannot look upon sin. Again, we see that the wisdom of God given to Solomon confirms this death. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 19, as righteousness tendeth to life, he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. And the prophet Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4, he says, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The prophet's not talking about physical death. He says the soul shall die. We know that our souls are eternal. Our spirits will live throughout because eternal is endless, but our souls will be in eternity and immortal. It's talking about spiritual death, a separation from God. Then finally, this lesson is brought home to us by the Apostle Paul in words so plain that they cannot be mistaken. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, separation and alienation from the God of heaven. But unlike physical death, which we cannot escape, we can forsake sin. When Job was suffering the terrible tragedies that God allowed Satan to bring upon him, his friends thought that he was being punished for having committed some great sin. So the advice of Zophar to Job was this in Job chapter 11, verse 14. He said, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. If iniquity or sin is in your hand, put it far away from you, and don't let wickedness live in your house. Get rid of your sin. God will favor you again. That's the message he had for Job. Then when the prophet Isaiah wrote to the nation of Judah in the early chapters of his book, he warned them of their destruction as a nation. He warned them of the captivity that they would endure, their punishment by God for their sin. But in the latter chapters, gave them a vision of the coming of our Savior and the redemption that would be available to mankind through him. His message to them and to us is to return to the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. The Apostle Peter, in his letter to the strangers scattered throughout the region of Asia Minor, writes this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Yes, if we have sin in our lives, we can forsake that sin. We can put off those things that prevent us from serving God in righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 11, we have the examples of faith. The men and women who served God and were counted as being faithful to God. Well, they weren't perfect. In fact, some of them far from it. But chapter of Hebrews chapter 11, given through the inspiration of God, honors them for their faithfulness. The writer referring to these examples tells us this: "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us," in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Yes, we can lay aside sin. The sin that so does easily beset us, we can remove from our souls. If we're not a child of God, we can put off that old man, the old life, and our next lesson in Christ's school is this: we can put off the old life. Well, how do we put off the old life, that old man? How do we get rid of that sinful man whom God will not even look at, much less tolerate? The Apostle Paul suggests that he be crucified. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, he says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." The old man of sin was crucified with him, crucified with Jesus Christ, because it was through his crucifixion, because it was through his death that the means of redemption was made available to all mankind. It is through the sacrifice of his shed blood that we can now put off that old man of sin. Well, how do we do that? The Apostle Paul assured the Colossian brethren that they were those in whom also you're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. So we put off the old man by being baptized into his death. The Apostle Paul couldn't have made it any plainer than what we read in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We are baptized into his death in order to be raised up and to live a new life. We live a new life because we are renewed spiritually. So now we have the final lesson of this session in Christ School. We can be renewed spiritually. Through our obedience to prepare ourselves, our baptism, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, by confessing his name, that belief before men, repenting of our past sins, we become candidates for spiritual renewal. In his agony over his sin with Bathsheba, David begged his Lord. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51, verse 10. David sought renewal. David needed to be spiritually renewed. He needed God to forgive him his sins. In fact, those sins at that time included adultery and murder. We'll study that Wednesday night. He's pleading with God for that purpose because he knew the truth of God's word. He knew God's mercy. He knew what Isaiah would later write to Judah. "But they that wait to depend upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Just like David, all mankind that are not in a right or a righteous relationship with the Heavenly Father need to have the Spirit within them renewed in the same condition that it was when God gave them physical life, pure and clean and holy. For those who have never done so, that means we must be buried with him in baptism, or by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 4. Or if we're like David, we had fellowship with God, but we wandered into the darkness of sin, 1 John chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. We have destroyed our relationship with God. We need the same remedy as David. But while David prayed to God alone, we have each other to lean on. We have each other to help bring our supplications to the throne of the Heavenly Father. God has given us that remedy through the writing of James. James chapter 5 and verse 16. He says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." If you need to be renewed this morning, never having been a child of God, need to have your spirit, your soul washed clean as it was when you're born, be born again, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you sin before God publicly and need to repent publicly in public prayer, come now as we stand and sing.